The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Beside all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I have never really considered myself a monetarily rich man, although I must add, though by world standards I am filthy rich, if you know what I mean. Indeed, God has richly blessed me, no question about that, just as he has richly blessed you in your life. But there is something whenever I read this particular parable that literally catches my heart and my soul, of what happens to a rich man who doesn't seem to care all that very much about his neighbor. Now, if you take this parable that Jesus shared, and if you begin to look at it very carefully and study it, you will notice that this week's story contains a perplexing lack of detail. There's not a lot of information that is really given about Lazarus. We don't know anything about his character, about his story, his actions that may have happened in his lifetime. All we know that is in life, Lazarus was hungry and he had some sort of skin disease. There's not a lot of information concerning the rich man as well when you begin to look at him. We do know that he lived a materially wealthy existence. We also know that he didn't care for or share his resources with those like Lazarus who were literally at his gate. After his death, we learn that he had five brothers who still lived in his father's house. And while he didn't care for Lazarus at all, or at least that's what the parable shows us, he did care very deeply about his family, did he not? Now Jesus, in his telling of this parable, he didn't tell us that Lazarus was a righteous man, that he had lived this super pious type of life or anything like that. Jesus simply noted that when the poor man died, he found his way to Abraham's bosom. And I think we can safely say that this seems to be a good place, a place of comfort, a place of reward. And similarly, when the rich man died, he was cast into Hades, which is revealed to be a fiery realm of torment. At death, the men's situations were somehow reversed, were they not? But their outlooks, well, they don't seem to change very much. Lazarus is still silent, doesn't have anything to say, even though he is cared for by Abraham. But the parable tells us that Abraham provided for Lazarus much more faithfully than the rich man. And Jesus makes it very clear in the story that this comforting, this kind of care that Lazarus seems to receive, it now makes up for Lazarus' suffering in earthly life, or this lack that he seemed to experience. After a lifetime of wealth and material comfort, the rich man died. He faced the horrors of hell. But is it not interesting that his disregard for Lazarus' humanity, for Lazarus' personhood, that it seems to continue on? And here's what I mean. In all boldness and without any kind of apology, the rich man appealed to Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water to come and cool his tongue. And Abraham very quickly explained that their situations represented justice for both of them, and that it was impossible for anyone to journey from one of those realms to the other of the afterlife. Then the rich man asked Abraham, well, to let Lazarus, let him speak to his family by warning them of the dangers of this torment of hell. And here we see, unfortunately, that the rich man really has not changed, has he? Both in life and death, he only cared. He only cared about himself and his family by showing a complete disregard, once again, for the personhood of Lazarus. It's an interesting story, is it not? If you were here last Sunday, you will remember that Jesus in Luke chapter 16, which is from where our gospel text today is also taken, Jesus is talking a lot about money, is he not? Telling the parable of the shrewd businessman who used his position of authority to gain friendships, to earn friendships, when he learned that he was about to be fired. Jesus told the story to urge people to use their money for good while they had the opportunity in life, while they could, so that God would then welcome them into their eternal home. As a solid reminder of this important aspect of life, Jesus also argued the fact that we humans cannot serve both God and mammon. The rich man in today's parable undoubtedly worshipped his God of luxury and wealth rather than the God whose eye is always upon the lowly. Today's gospel is one that should make a person, as I read it and feel about it, it should make a person sort of take stock of the motivating forces in one's life. For in this text, Jesus presented a view of the afterlife where people who do not have compassion for those who are in need, but rather somehow and in many different ways insulate themselves with their own desires, are then cast into suffering after their deaths. The tables will be completely turned if we hear what Jesus has to say today. And so it is important for us to realize that Jesus was not using this parable to try to describe what heaven is like or what hell is like, even though we'd really like to know, would we not? But rather to simply say that what we do and what we don't do with our money and our lives as well matters immensely. And it has consequences in this world as well as the next. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus talks and shares and teaches the crowd. We call that section of Scripture the Beatitudes. And I call you back to that just for a moment so that you might remember what our Lord said that day. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As well as, woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. I think it's important for us to remember that the rich man wasn't barred from heaven just because he was rich, all right? But rather because he was selfish. He didn't share. He didn't give. He didn't have concern. Abraham, whom Lazarus is now being comforted by, was by no means, while on earth, a poor man. For if you go back into the Old Testament, you find out that Abraham was a man who had servants and flocks and herds and land and children and multiple children and wives. So he was a rich man. Yet Abraham was filled with generosity to those who were around him. And he was faithful to undertake difficult tasks when God asked him to, rather than having a sole focus of just simply pleasing himself. You see, when we begin to look at the passage in this way, we see that the parable is not an after-death kind of sentence for the rich, okay? If you have money, well, straight to hell with you. It's not that at all. But rather, it is an invitation. It is a call, and perhaps even a stark warning about the dangers. Literally the dangers of when love of self wins out over love of your neighbor. Before I close the sermon, I hate not to highlight our epistle lesson, because Paul writes some incredible words, as he always does. Paul urges the people to use their riches to bless others, and this is what he says. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. That, you see, is what this story is all about. Real life is found in sharing. Real life is found in giving to those who are in need. And the scriptures are consistently clear that everything that you and I have, they are gifts from Him. And all we ever do with them is steward them. We steward those resources for God. Everything we have, as I say, is on loan from God. And we are called to be ready to share with those who are in need. The chance, the opportunity, whenever it comes, whenever God presents it for us, is both a blessing to live out our faith, as well as an opportunity to store up heavenly treasures. May our prayer today be, God, give us grace that we might live in that kind of pleasing way for you. Amen.